The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Gary, you got any news for us this morning?
I do.
Let's morning.
Well, it's morning for me.
Perfect. Do you have any news for us this evening?
Had to go ruin it.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Yes, I do. So let's run down the list here. News outlets in the Philippines have reported on a video of a mysterious UFO sighting over the ocean, sparking confusion from skeptics and frenzy from UFO enthusiasts. This comes days after several reported eyewitness accounts of UFOs over that country's mainland. The object in question appears to be very large and very bright, leaving many observers baffled as to what it might be. On the conspiracy front, following YouTube's decision a few weeks ago to stop promoting and recommending conspiracy content, quote-unquote, YouTube has now announced it is ending monetization on anti-vaccine videos. These videos will still be on YouTube, but will not have ads, so content creators will not be able to make money off of them. A 12-year-old boy, Jackson Oswalt of Memphis, has become the youngest person to achieve nuclear fusion at home, building an amateur reactor in an old bedroom. Look on Chauncey's face is priceless. This reactor cost $10,000 to build. Money for the project came from his parents. Although nuclear fusion is not yet viable for economical energy production, the ability to create small-scale fusion at home has existed for many years. Oswalt is simply the youngest builder of this technology so far. Oswalt is now 14, as it took 2 years for his accomplishments to be officially confirmed and recognized by the Open Source Fusor Research Consortium, which handles things of that nature. And finally, in apocalypse news, it rained live fish in Malta after a devastating storm struck the island. One observer was quoted as saying, "One of the fish farms must have broke open, and there's hundreds and hundreds of fish that have blown ashore, and these people are here picking up the fish from the middle of the street." The storm was not quite powerful enough to be classified as a hurricane, although its strength was still noticeable, as the Mediterranean Sea does not actually have hurricanes, only rare hurricane-like tropical storms called metacanes. The Mediterranean is expected to experience full-fledged hurricanes by the end of the century due to climate change. Now, back to you, Chauncey.
All right, man. Can you imagine what those streets smell like?
Oh, God.
Yeah, because at first I'm just all, are they picking them up and eating them? And then I'm all, no, man, they're picking them up to dispose
of them.
Stank out of there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Malta is an island, so I imagine it, you know, smells like the sea under normal circumstances, but probably not like, you know, rotting fish.
Yeah. You know, I think about that a lot when it comes to, like tsunamis. I know it's a terrible thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Once I know everybody's okay and we're past the catastrophe, I think
about... Or that the people who aren't okay aren't really going to complain anymore.
That's terrible. But, you know, I think about, like, what it must smell like. Like, what was dredged up
from the ground.
When
was the last time someone was okay in a tsunami? Tsunamis are ridiculous disasters.
Well, people survive. I mean,
well, yeah, people survive. Lots of people don't survive. Okay, go on. Sorry, I was just...
We're supposed to be, like, feel good and, like, helping people here with our positive attitudes in their time of crisis. Not
we
just
are?
Being terrible, terrible human beings.
Oh, well, I don't know why I'm on the show. I don't know why you are on the show, more importantly.
I'm trying. I'm getting softer as I get older. But
clearly.
So, what it must smell like, a town blanketed in dead fish. That must just absolutely suck. And is that something the town pays for to clean up, that the state pays for? Do people, like, come through?
I don't know. Insurance is probably like, we don't cover fish.
Yeah, we don't cover...
It says in the policy, no fish, no bees.
Right, no acts of God.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And then, you're right, I did have an absolutely terrified look on my face for this kid that...
Is building fusion reactors.
Is building a fusion reactor. Okay, so I got this buddy Lou, and he was like, he's like all about like renewable energy and figuring out how to do it.
Sure.
You know, he's interesting because he's actually quite conservative.
Yeah,
he's just super techie. Yeah, he's just super techie. So what he did is he took his car and he took a Tesla coil, and he basically. Generated fusion, hydrogen from water in his car that he would pump into his fuel line and be able to adjust the amount of hydrogen going in.
Okay.
And so
this, like a makeshift hydrogen fuel cell car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. And he's like, at the time I smoked cigarettes and like he showed it to me and he's just all, yeah, man, it works. And I'm all, is this thing safe? And he's all, well, it's not nuclear. And I'm all, I know that, but it's hydrogen, you know? And he's all, yeah, yeah, it's safe. And I, like, lean in to look while I'm smoking. He's all, oh, don't smoke by it. I'm like, oh, God, that's not safe. You know, that's not
so
safe
you almost died in a huge fireball.
Right. So this thing that this kid made, is there any chance of it, like, exploding? And do you know? Or?
Unfortunately, no. Nuclear fusion doesn't do that. Oh. It's so with fission in, like, a nuclear bomb, which is what people generally think of, you have a fissile mass of material. You have enough of the nuclear material that if, you know, one atom splits, then it causes a chain reaction throughout the mass that causes, you know, a portion of the whole thing to be converted directly into energy and boom.
Right, right.
In a nuclear power plant, you don't necessarily have that mass, not at least. It's not weapons-grade material, and it's not designed to explode, so it doesn't. The worst it does is just emit radiation if it melts down or something.
Right. So are there any, like, legal concerns with this kid doing this in his neighborhood?
Well, and fusion doesn't do that at all.
Oh, okay.
Fusion doesn't involve radioactive materials in the first place.
Okay.
So, which is, I mean, presumably this guy didn't, you know, pull a... Back to the Future and buy some plutonium from some sketchy Iranian arm dealer or whatever it is. It's a while since I saw that movie.
Yeah, I forget who they were.
But I wanted to report on it just, you know, so like 10, 15 years from now when Captain Fusion is terrorizing the East Coast and no one can stop him and his identity is uncertain. Like,
we'll know it's this kid.
We'll know it's this kid. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like, clearly.
All right, and what was the first one on your list?
It was a UFO sighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, just another UFO sighting. Yeah. I have to report on them, you know.
Must be fake.
Keep ahead of them. Well, this one was actually kind of interesting.
I'm just saying they happen all the time. I mean, how likely is it that they're all fake?
That's a good point, and that's kind of my feelings about UFOs. On one hand, it's like, what would the aliens be doing here, and how did they get here, and they've been here for decades, what are they even doing? On the other hand, there are just so many sightings. It's like they can't all be fake. So this was an odd one.
All right, well, our guest tonight is Michael Feely, and he's going to be talking about Nibiru.
Ah, good.
And this is a big topic for a lot of people, a lot of believers out there. Not only are there a lot of believers out there, but there are a lot of people who are really kind of concerned with their well-being over what might happen if another planet comes in. I can't say that I have a huge amount of concern, but I do find it incredibly interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a grain of truth to everything. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but those grains in space, you know.
They'll screw up your spacecraft. Yeah.
No, they become planets eventually.
Oh, okay.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Michael Feely.
Baby, and I love you. The way I love is just the way I am. Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest Michael Feely here. We are talking about the Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu. Are they real? Your new book. Did I say Eridu correctly?
I believe you did, yes. It means the same thing however you pronounce it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, Michael, we're really happy to have you on. You know, Nibiru is like this topic that is all over the place and people are really interested. But, you know, it seems like there's so many different views on what Nibiru is. You know, a lot of people are saying that it's a planet in a long elliptical orbit. Some people are saying that it's a system of planets, that it's a binary star. You know, what's your take on, in your book, what is Nibiru?
Well, when you look at the whole sort of Sumerian scrolls, the old Anunnaki story or Anunnaki interpretation, really. What I've done, now my background is basically in 17 years of law enforcement in which I was a trained investigator for 17 years. Now the skill of an investigator is to piece things together, is to see evidence that other people may not be able to see. And it's a really well-defined skill. And whenever I've looked at distant ancient past, whichever culture, whichever monument, whichever part of the world that culture comes from, I have actually deciphered a code that is the same throughout the whole of the ancient world. And that includes all the religious books as well, especially the Bible. It is all this esoteric hidden code that has been covered up by metaphors, covered up by symbols, covered up by codes. And I found that the Anunnaki story of Sumeria, the modern-day Iraq, is no different to that. So when you start piecing together bits of the story, you obviously need to piece together the whole of the story. And when you start doing that, you find that all these different component parts actually fit in. Now, that the Nibiru itself, Planet X, as it's called, is not an Anunnaki planet where they visit Earth in a 3,600-year orbit to mine for gold for their planet. Now, when you look at the word Nibiru, it simply means wandering planet. So where does the word Nibiru come from? When you go back to Egyptian astronomy, you find that their planet Venus, or their name for planet Venus, was Nebheru. Now, the planet Venus is seen as a wandering planet because every 8 years it does a pentagram-shaped eclipse around the sun. And that is why we have the pentagram, the American flag, with the American star, is the planet Venus. And the Sumerian scrolls tell us that the Anunnaki's home planet is really Duku, which means sacred mound. And what that is really referring to is the Mons Veronis, which is the mound of Venus, which is the pubic mound. So a lot of the Anunnaki story is actually talking about the fertilization event and consciousness and genetics. And I've also found that there's a real higher consciousness message that is going on for humanity. And that message is hidden within all of these ancient monuments and all these ancient stories. Something somewhere is telling us of our own inner consciousness, our own inner potential. And when you start looking at the planet Venus, Venus governs fertility. You have the shell that is associated with Venus and the goddess Venus. The shell is the symbol of female genitalia. Again, we have Veronis, which is Venus, which is venereal. We see that the god Enki in the Anunnaki story also has a connection to semen. It's also suggested that Jesus Christ was an incarnation of Enki. Then when you look at who Jesus Christ really was, again, that is really talking about male fertility and inner Christ consciousness. So all of these stories are referring to a deeper metaphorical yet esoteric truth. So the planet Nibiru is really the planet Nebheru, which is the planet of Venus. And that has association as the morning star. It has connections to Enki. It has connections to Jesus Christ. They all have connections to each other. So Nibiru is really Nebheru, the planet Venus.
Okay, so when the Russians tried to land on Venus, they basically touched down for about 5 minutes before their craft melted. Are they still there, or are we talking about in great history, like a long time ago, and nobody's there any longer?
Well, certainly in terms of the planets, I mean, who knows? You know, we only have really mainstream science and mainstream NASA and whatever to tell us whether or not these planets are habitable or inhabitable, etc. In terms of the universe, the solar system, it is packed with life. It is not humanity on Earth that is the only existence in this solar system or the only existence in this universe. That is clear evidence, and I show in my talks and everything else, that is clear evidence between the Earth, the Moon, planet Mars, especially the Sidonian city on planet Mars that has connections to the pyramids of Egypt, the Stonehenge in the UK. So there is some kind of intergalactic connection, certainly within the planets of the solar system where messages have been left for us to find. So the old Anunnaki story itself, I've stood next to an extraterrestrial being. I've seen an absolute multitude of unorthodox craft in the sky. I've seen craft coming out of wormholes in the sky. That wormhole then dissipated and the craft carried on through the sky. I've had various other things happening to me that proves to me the existence of these unearthly beings that walk amongst us. So I have no doubt whatsoever that there is many races that are here that have always have been here. And I would even suggest that many of them were here before we were. and that we're actually the aliens visiting Earth. But the Anunnaki story itself, Zachariah Sitchin did a literal translation, and that literal translation, just like any, like whether it's a pyramid, whether it's a stone monument, whether it's a biblical scripture, that literal translation will only get you to a certain depth. The real truth of the story is when you go beyond that depth, when you start looking into, I say, the metaphors, the esoteric symbology. Now, the Anunnaki story is one of fertility, is one of the fertilization event, and it is one of a consciousness acceleration, a consciousness rising through the chakras, through the bodily system. And we can see that through the various characters of the Anunnaki. For argument's sake, the chief god of the Anunnaki was Anu. Now, the word Anu, in one of the earliest earthly languages, which is Sanskrit, means atom. So Anu is really talking about the atom. So is Adam and Eve. So is Adamu and Tiamat. Tiamat basically means the primordial creation. It's talking about the sea, the holy waters, the sea of men, the seamen. And we're talking about this genetic fertility, all of this, this raising of consciousness through various practices and through various, the balancing of our inner kingdom, which is the body. And when we look at the biblical Eden, the Garden of Eden, as is Eridu in the Anunnaki story, which are the same place, is really talking about the human body where all of this is really happening. So the Anunnaki story itself has been translated in a literal way, which has missed the real esoteric meaning.
I see. So is all this this comparison to sexuality and conscious growth, does this all really sort of equate to the belief system that we were evolved by these people, by this race of people, that humanity became humanity with their help?
That is one of the, well, that is the translation of the Anunnaki scrolls as per Zachariah Sitchin, as per, to be fair, many universities across the world. However, the human race was not created by the Anunnaki. I mean, the Anunnaki is a title that means those who from heaven to earth came. That is us. That is provable because every human being on this planet is really a starseed. We are the remnants of a dead star that has created all of these elements that becomes the human body. So we all come from the heavens. Heaven simply means sky. So we all come from the sky. We were not created by the Anunnaki. We were created from a geometric mind, a pure mathematical mind, because everything in the universe is a geometric, mathematical, programmed shape or design, and nothing ever deviates from that program. So the creation of humanity, the creation of everything in this universe as we know it, comes from the same point of origin, which is a pure mathematical mind that has set in place a system of numerics, a system of mathematics and geometry. Now, the principle of creation is geometry.
Michael, let me cut you off there. We are coming up on commercial break. And you are listening to Michael Feely here on Radio Wasteland talking about his book, The Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu. Are they real? Come on back.
Es la buena noche. Nos hablas con voces. Nos hablan sus manos. Noche tras noche. Noche tras noche, tragos con tragos, cuatro los charcos. La cruz en sus brazos, por vida con mis campos. La cruz en sus brazos, por vida con mis Camina por calles, buscando sin luz, el lugar de su cruz, soñando con carros, cuatro unos charros, la cruz en sus brazos.
Assemblyman Brian Dowdy is tough on illegal immigration.
As Assembly Republican leader, I led the fight to ban sanctuary cities that protect undocumented criminals.
Brian Dowdy opposed the liberal agenda to make it easier for the undocumented criminals to break our laws and get away with it.
Stop this politically correct nonsense.
Let's put California first and end illegal immigration. As Republican leader, Brian Dowdy was tough on taxes and tough on liberals.
I was 100% rated by the California Taxpayers Association. Stopped a $400 billion government takeover of health care and killed billions in new taxes and protected Proposition 13.
Brian Dowdy, the unanimous choice of conservatives to lead Republicans in the state assembly. Endorsed by the California Professional Firefighters. 100% rated by the California Police Chiefs Association. A-rated by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Brian Dowdy, Reagan Republican for State Senate. Brian Dowdy, he's on our side. Paid for by Brian Dowdy for State Senate 2019.
Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Tracy Edwards. Join the Reading Rancheria for its 2019 Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentations, and silent auction. Celebrate the 51 organizations who we were able to help in 2018. One organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. So come experience the Reading Rancheria Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Call Maria Orozco at 242-4516 for info or tickets.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Michael Feely talking about his book, The Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu. Are they real? Before we went to break, we were talking about sort of the origin connections of man to Nibiru and the Anunnaki. And there seems to be, in a lot of the translated writings by Zachariah Sitchin and, of course, in a lot of the belief systems that are out there, there seems to be a big involvement here with humans and Anunnaki, but I'm a little confused then as to what that involvement is. Like, what was their interest in us, or was there one?
Well, absolutely, there is much interest in the human race. Now, when you look at the universal makeup, the fabric of the universe, it is a trinity, and that trinity is the proton, the electron, and the neutron, which is the positive, the negative, and the neutral. So any of these extraterrestrial races that visit Earth are one of those categories. They're either neutral, they're either positive, or they're either negative. It has to be one of those three things. So their interest in humanity would involve either a positive connection, a negative influence, or a neutral observation, but they are neither positive nor negative. So there is lots of interest in what is going on Earth. Now, when you start looking at subatomics and you look at the way particles work and the way particles exchange information, for argument's sake, if we are setting off nuclear weapons, every proton in the universe contains the information of every other proton in that universe. So when we start messing with nuclear bombs, we are upsetting the infrastructure of the whole fabric of the universe atomically. So it's in their interest to monitor what's really going on. Humanity at the moment are really small children with big, powerful, dangerous toys, and it has a catastrophic effect on the rest of the fabric of the universe. So it's only right that sometimes we see extraterrestrial craft above nuclear arsenals that are switching them off, they are deactivating them, because they are dangerous machines. And it doesn't only affect the climate system, it doesn't only affect Earth's atmosphere, but as I say, atomically and subatomically, it upsets the whole infrastructure of the fabric of the universe. So what we do has a ripple effect to everyone else. And some of the actions of humanity are basically disgraceful. And, you know, we need to really, really sort of become conscious. We need to become aware. And we need to really sort of connect to that galactic community again. So it's only right that there's a lot of interest in what's going on Earth. And that's why we're seeing an increased number of sightings, visitations, and all of these things that are unorthodox.
Yeah, okay. So basically, when we're talking Nibiru, we are talking Venus. And so what is Eridu?
Eridu is basically the equivalent of the biblical Eden. Now, Eden means life. It is talking about the human body. Now, when we look at Adam and Eve, or we look at Adamu and Tiamat, who are the Anunnaki equivalent, what you get is the same story throughout the whole of these cultures, but the only thing that has changed is the names. The metaphors, the deeper meanings mean the same thing. So when you see Adam and Eve, or Adamu and Tiamat, living in the East of Eden is symbolic of the right side of the brain, and the right side of the brain is the spiritual connection. So we have Eridu, Eden, the human body, the tree of life, which is the Arbor Vitae inside the brain, which deals with sensory information. The Arbor Vitae in Latin means tree of life. So we have all of these different cultures telling us exactly the same story under different names. We have the likes in Egypt, where you have Isis, Osiris, and Horus, which are a metaphor for the three compartment parts of the third eye, the endocrine system of the brain, which deals with consciousness. You have the likes of Stonehenge, which is really a power station for the amplification of connection to our roots in the stars. We have the Mayan pyramids, the likes of in the likes of Tikal. Tikal means the same as Vatican. Tika means pineal gland, means third eye. They're all telling us of this spiritual sight. And the Anunnaki story is telling us the exact same story. You know, when we look at the mysterious handbag that a lot of these figurines are carrying, when you go back to, again, the Anunnaki, they seem to be carrying this handbag in their hand. When you look at other cultures, they're all carrying the exact same handbag. When you start looking at the metaphor and the deeper meaning of that, you can see that the handle of the handbag is basically the arch. It's 180 degrees, which is the perfect degree, the perfect sort of geometry for hydrogen bonding. When you start looking at that kind of thing, you start looking at the gametes, which is a genetic thing, which is all to do with the fertility event. Which is basically the Punnett square, which is the handbag, which is the handle. So it's really talking about genetic geometry. That really is the hidden meaning of that handbag that's carried by the Anunnaki and other cultures. When we start looking at there were giants in those days. Well, a giant is a metaphor for greater than average insight. What these giants are really telling us, the same as the Greek gods on Mount Olympus, the hidden meaning of that story is that is the God within. That is our higher, larger self, our greater than average insight. That is when we become fully Christed, fully consciousness beings. That is the giants. When we start looking at the giants, the Nephilim, the watchers, watch out means awake, or he who's awake. So again, we are referring to a human consciousness. So again, the Anunnaki story is no different to any of the stories of the ancient cultures around the world, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Mesopotamians, the builders of Stonehenge, the Druids, the mystery schools of Egypt, the Greeks, the Mayans. Everyone is telling us the exact same thing. And that same thing is the body, the consciousness, the human potential, the way in which genetics work in order to achieve this higher consciousness, which reconnects us to the cosmos.
So a lot of this seems to be sort of really, really sort of spiritual in its message. You know, is that humans who have put a spiritual understanding on something that was too complex for us, or is a lot of this actually spiritual? Because I'm feeling that, like, Eridu is not a physical place. So is this imposed by us, or is this spirituality a part of it?
Well, it is at its deepest origin. It is the spirituality. It is the order out of chaos. Now, what the order out of chaos really means is to go inside oneself and to know thyself. And when the Bible tells you that the kingdom of God is within you, it's really giving you the true meaning of what they're talking about. Now, when we look at the likes of Confucius, who tells us that signs and symbols rule the world, not words nor laws, when we look at the ancient brotherhoods, the ancient mystery schools, the ancient priesthoods, that through the Gnostics wanted to start keeping this sacred information of universe and self away from the masses, because they saw this knowledge as being for the privileged, to be for the worthy, not for the general public levels of religion or the general public levels. They wanted a multiple-tiered system where only the worthy, only the chosen, only the initiates would really understand the true spiritual essence of self, and everybody else could just have, you know, the biblical scriptures, the Noah's Ark, Jesus Christ, the Mary Magdalene, the Moses, the Noah, which are all metaphors for aspects of self that raise through self in order to achieve what is known as the Christ consciousness, which is the solar force within us. And there are basically a lot of the Pharisees, the Gnostics, the Hierophants, the Hermetics, who are the only ones that really understand these esoteric principles and understand the sacred mysteries. Everybody else gets a fictional story in order to keep them away from the deeper truth. And that is really what has happened with the world religions. That is what has happened with the ancient monuments, the monoliths, the pyramids, the Anunnaki story, the Babylonian story. It's really there as a cover-up to cover a deeper truth, a deeper essence, which is really that we are walking gods on Earth. We are the God particle in a physical human form, and that is really what it is covering. Because if people began to realize exactly who they really were, then there would be no control over us.
Michael, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Michael Feely here on Radio Wasteland, and we're talking about his book, The Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu. Are they real? Come on back.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
To Radio Wasteland and our guest Michael Feely. We are talking about his book, The Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu. Are they real? This question always comes to mind whenever I'm talking about anything having to do with sort of aliens or a world outside of our own world. And that is, do you feel that the government knows about this any more than we do? Or is this something that they just have no idea about as well?
Well, it depends upon which level within government that you are or which you operate in. In any part of society, whether it's the Masons, whether it's the Secret Brotherhoods, whether it's the Initiates, the Jesuits, whoever, regardless of who it is, you only know what you need to know. And there are levels above you that know more than you do. But you believe at your level you have the entire picture. So it really, really does depend upon what level of government department you're in. Now, there are departments known simply as above government, and it's those above government departments that really know a lot more than your Donald Trump, you know, your Barack Obama, your George Bush. They know a certain amount because they are part of these high-ranking secret brotherhoods. So by virtue of that fact, they know a lot more than the average man or the average woman in relation to this true spiritual essence of self. In terms of alien connection, many presidents have publicly stated that there is They've seen things, they know things. But a lot of this operates above government because, you know, politicians, presidents, prime ministers are figureheads. They're not the ones really in control. That is just the illusion that they are in control. Their strings are being pulled. But it's really the above level, above government levels that are really in collusion that really deal with these extraterrestrial races.
I see. You know, that makes a lot of sense, the compartmentalization of it. You know, so even the people at the top here on the planet, you know, they might be compartmentalized by those outside forces, and they might not even have a full understanding, although they think they do.
Absolutely spot on. You know, people only know if you are the first, second, or third degree of Masonry, you will not know, you know, what the fourth, fifth, and sixth know. If you are fourth, fifth, and sixth, you will not know what the seventh, eighth, and ninth know. All the way up to the highest known rank, which is the 33 degrees, which really, again, is a spiritual number. You know, the hertz is 33 hertz of Christ consciousness. There's 33 vertebrae of the human spine. The 33rd vertebrae is medically known as Atlas, which then takes us to the lost city of Atlantis, which is really inside the head, which is really consciousness. So, again, you will only know your part of the puzzle. You will not know beyond what you need to know at your level. And that is really how they keep secrets within secrets, wills within wills.
I see. So, you know, in the title of your book, The Snake Men, I had no idea what this is, and I'm a horror movie fan, frankly. So as soon as I saw Snake Men, I'm just all right. Well, I'm really interested here. What is the Snake Men? I've never heard that in conjunction with Nibiru.
Right. Well, some depictions of the Anunnaki involve serpent depictions. Many ancient depictions, when you have the dragon, where you have the snake of Eden, where you have lots of serpent references. And what I mean by the snake man is basically the snake or the serpent man is really a metaphor for the god within, because the serpent is seen as wisdom, and it is the wisdom within. And when we start looking at the ancient sort of spiritual Kundalini awakening, Kundalini is basically the coiled serpent that lays dormant at the base of the spine, which when activated rises up the spine, which is Jacob's ladder of the Bible, and it activates your seven energy centers, which are your human chakra system. When it starts getting to the top chakras, which when you start getting to the third eye, the crown chakra, that is when you start to make that connection to our higher consciousness. So really the serpent was all to do with wisdom. And when you start looking at who the devil is, who Lucifer is, when this Kundalini awakening gets trapped by ego or by lower desires, it actually becomes a descending serpent. It becomes a negative polarity. And that is really what is meant by the fall of Satan from the heavens down to earth, because the higher chakras are known as heaven and the lower chakras are the kingdom of earth. So this descending serpent, which is trapped by the inner ego, the Judas of the 12 disciples, the Pharaoh of the 10 plagues of Egypt, when he gets trapped by this ego, it becomes the descending serpent, the negative polarity, which is the fall of Satan. Now, Lucifer is a different matter. Lucifer is basically a code for the Gentile soul, and the Gentile soul is trapped through certain magical sort of words, spells, and that magical spell and that is keeping Lucifer trapped, descending the Gentile soul trapped, is Yahweh, and that is basically a spell that keeps the Gentile in the abyss, which is the shell of without spiritual light. So it's basically how they are keeping the world in ignorance, in darkness. So all of these references to serpents are really, when you start looking at Enki and Enlil in the Anunnaki story, who were known as the Sheti, which means snake brothers, that is really talking about the double helix of DNA. And if you want to take that to a larger scale within the human body, you're talking about the Ida and the Pingala nerves, which are known as the white and black serpents, the positive and negative serpent. It's all talking about genetics. When we talk about Alalu, who's meant to be the face on Mars, Alalu means wave genetics. So again, when DNA forms, it is enticed by these wave genetics, these waves, these genetic waves that create DNA. So we are really, really talking about a genetic human body. So all of these ancient cultures, all of these religious books are really talking about one thing, which is the human body and a spiritual passage or a rightful passage to a greater awakening.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're coming up here on the end of the interview, but I want to make sure that our audience, knows a little bit more about where they can find out more about you or get their hands on your book. You've been listening to Michael Feely, his book, The Anunnaki of Nibiru and the Snake Men of Eridu, Are They Real? And his website is michael-feely.com. Where else can they get their hands on your book? Is the website the best place to get it?
Yeah, they can get to the website or they can go to any of the Amazons around the world, Amazon.com, Amazon.co.uk or Europe. They can find me on Facebook if they just type my name in, or probably the website is the best because that gives you direct contact to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, Michael, thank you very much for being on the show. There is a lot to take in there. There's a lot of information there. So I'm guessing the book fleshes a lot of that out because – you know, this is kind of a unifying theory of everything, it seems.
Well, when I go live on stage, my talks are 3 or 4 hours, and they could be a lot longer, but time's always against me. And so this is really, really not even touching the surface. There is a real, real sort of deep truth to be revealed. And yes, it does come out in book form, and certainly blogs and articles that I write as well.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Michael Feely here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.